There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. As we get into this 1 o'clock hour, 2 o'clock Eastern Time for the folks in the Eastern Time Zone. Now it's the deadline for the Columbia students to end their encampment. And so they're, whatever, 7 minutes past it. I'm watching a live feed. Doesn't seem like anything's happening yet. And Dalton, you had asked me before to comment on the tents. You know, they don't give me enough zoom here. Looks like some decent tents. I don't know. Like a good four-man tent. I don't see any of the big, like, multi-room tents there. I mean, it seemed like good dome tents. I really could not zoom in enough. But supposedly right now is when they're, you know, the students that are remaining there in the encampment, I guess, get suspended. If you're still there and they, you know who you are, then you get suspended. And then I don't know what the, you know, NYPD is going to do with the people getting them gone. The note here said, please promptly gather your belongings and leave the encampment. If you voluntarily leave by 2 p.m., identify yourself to a university official and sign the provided form where you'll commit to abide by all university policies through June 30th of 2025 for the date of the conferral of your degree. Whichever is earlier, you will be eligible to complete the semester in good standing. That came from university officials this morning. It's 2 o'clock. I don't see many of them leaving. So I will keep our eyes on it and see what happens there. Right now we check in with District 105 Representative. Last on the charge, first in your hearts. Yay, yay, yay. Chip Brown. Hey, man.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
It's good. It's good. So they've got just minutes left here in New York, and y'all just have, like, what, 5 days left in session this year. Of course, that's when y'all are gaveled in. So your prediction right now, before we get into the meat of it, y'all go mid-May? Y'all go early May? When's it over?
Well, we have 5 working days left, legislative days, and that's the way that actually works is it's deceiving because we're actually there working in committees and that sort of thing. But a legislative day is a day that we actually gavel in and take up bills. So we will go, let's see, this week and then next week and then more than likely, tradition is that we wait a few days and then we come back, usually 10 days later, and have a final day. And the reason you do that is if the governor vetoes something, then that gives you time to override the veto and, you know, puts them in a position where they can't veto something. So it traditionally, that's what we've done. I would assume we'll do the same thing. We'll see. But we're definitely this week and next week. So we've got five legislative days.
Okay. Well, with that being the timeline here, you and I talked early on in the session. In the House, gambling legislation came pretty quickly, came out. The Senate took it, reworked it, modified it, cut it, and sent it back out. Looked pretty different than the House plan. Now I know that there's negotiations going on. But with 5 days left, what's your call? Is there going to be something that can be agreed on between, you know, bicamerally?
I believe so. I think that, you know, I know both sides have been working hard on this issue, and it's just a difference of opinion between the House and the Senate. And it's ironic then that it's traditionally been the other way around, and that the Senate has been the one that has pushed something larger in scope, and the House has been the one that has traditionally rejected that. And now we're in a reverse situation. We're going to come up with something. We'll have something. And yeah, that's
No, but I mean, those differences are so big. You're going to come up, because I mean, the way I understood it when it came out of the, you know, I remember having Senator Albritton on here and said, like, we passed it back out, but there's these very big changes. Is that, you know, if any of those stand, are those too big? You know, I don't know where the negotiation, where's the wiggle room on this between House and Senate?
Well, I think you get into the nuances of, say, like a lottery. The House bill had is a true education lottery with scholarship programs, and the Senate version was not. The House version had sports gaming, which, you know, if you talk to anyone, that is, it's going on now. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
people do it on their phones. They do it. You just do it through third world countries, go through Panama. They do it on VPNs on their phone. The Senate had no sports gaming. The House, of course, did. You know, the Senate just wants it limited to the current locations, say like Mobile Greyhound Track, Victory Land, Birmingham Racecourse, that have all had local constitutional amendments, and they want it limited to those. They just want bingo machines, you know, that are like that are essentially slot machines, but they just say, you know, they're bingo, or historic racing machines, which I can't ever figure out really how those work.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, but I just...
yeah, it really is. It's a slot machine.
It's silly. Oh, no, we're watching horse races. Oh, come on. All right.
You know. Exactly. I had somebody show it to me and explain it to me, and I said the same thing. That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, when somebody explained it to me, I had the same reaction when they finally said, because I was on the air saying, I don't know what this is like, and how does this work? And somebody, you know, several people put it through the text line. I said, yeah, that's dumb. That's just dumb.
Yeah, I will say I went and looked at one of those, and they because, you know, I'm involved. And so they wanted me to see it, and I looked at it, and I said, well, that's just way beyond... I mean, that is the quintessential, let's get around the law.
Mm-hmm. It happens every time.
Yeah, exactly. So that there the Senate legislation just has that, where the House opens it up to having essentially casinos with where Class 3 gaming, where you have table games and blackjack and, you know, that sort of thing. I think there is room there, and I think that we will see something hopefully this week. You know, I know both sides have been negotiating in good faith, and just we'll see what comes out. I mean, that's the only thing we can hope for. See something a product that's good that can hit the floor of both chambers and allow the people to have the opportunity to vote.
That's the problem. I think that a product that is good, in my opinion, for what that's worth, the product that's good is something that can't pass. You know, that's what worries me, that that those two things can't coexist. The product that is good and a product that can pass.
Well, I think, you know, you and I, I think are on the same page on that, as far as what we think we would like to see versus what's mm-hmm. more than likely going to come out. But, you know, we have to remember this too, Sean, that, you know, we haven't had a vote on gaming since 1999. It's never been able to pass the legislature. We've come within one vote of having a vote on a lottery in 2019, I believe it was, mm-hmm. and failed by one vote in the House. And so we've got an opportunity to do something that could be a start of you know, things down the road. I mean, Mississippi obviously did it the reverse. Mississippi had casino gaming before they had the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that.
Usually it works the opposite way. So that's traditionally the way it's been.
That's
so
because it's you know, what I call lottery is the wine spritzer of the gambling world, you know.
That's absolutely right.
The kids, once they're 18, I'll let her have a sip of a wine spritzer. You know, she's not going to have any Jack Daniels, but she can have a little wine spritzer.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. It's people don't see it as gambling, and of course, it is what it is. And but, you know, we need to allow people to have that opportunity to vote, and so we will see what comes up in the last closing days of the session.
Right. I want to look at again, and I will, and I'll be interested as we hear this. I may get you back on before end of session on a couple of bills we've talked about in the past on the show. And actually, it came up in a conversation I was having with the folks from Mobile Baykeeper the other day about the labeling law, the seafood labeling law. Where is that? Did that get voted through?
It passed the House, and actually came through the committee that I chair in the House, which is the Committee on Ports and Waterways, and came through there, and we passed it out very early in the House. And the week later, got it out of the Senate committee, and it's just been sitting in the Senate. There was for a while, the Senate didn't take up House bills. And so we're finally at that stage where they're starting to take up House bills. And, you know, I see no reason why it will not come up for a vote in the Senate these closing days. It needs to. And I encourage people to.
Yeah, who would be in opposition to it? Where would the forces in opposition to this business, or would they be the people talking to members of the Senate to let that thing just sit on ice? Or,
well, you know, I would have thought so, but a lot of their concerns, I addressed, and I met with them and heard their concerns. But the last thing I want to do is put anyone out of business or cause prices to rise, and a lot of those issues were addressed. So. I don't believe it's them. I just think it's an issue of timing and an issue of them not taking up House bills. But I would encourage everyone to voice their opinion and say they want to have the opportunity to be it enacted. It's House Bill 66.
Yeah. And for people to understand this happens every session. Is things might not be, you might not get a no vote, you just don't get a chance to vote. Things sometimes are put there just to left to dwindle on the vine.
Oh, well, I carried a Nye's Law, which mm-hmm. is the comprehensive bond reform that allows judges to keep criminals in jail or pending bond if they're found to be an imminent threat to the community themselves or a flight risk. But that took me 3 years to pass that bill. You think, why would someone be against keeping bad guys in jail? But there were. There were people out there that didn't want that to happen. And it took me 3 years to pass that legislation. But I feel very confident and hopeful that we will get this through. Senator David Sessions is carrying it in the Senate, and, of course, he does a great job. And I know he wants it to happen, and it's a big deal. We need to know where our seafood comes from. We need to know if it's imported seafood, if it's domestic seafood, and across the state, I've had people reach out to me from all areas of the state saying, we need to see this happen. Foreign imports are putting our seafood industries out of business, and particularly in my district, Bottle Battery, Codin, Grand Bay, Irvington, those areas, Dolphin Island. They are under a lot of pressure from foreign imports, much of it founded by our federal government, caused by our federal government of giving loans to no repayment loans to foreign entities, and then, of course, on the tariffs, not charging them any tariffs to import their seafood into the United States to flood the market, and it's really hurting our people here in South Mobile County and South Baldwin County. And so I'm very hopeful that House Bill 66 will come up for a vote. And I've got a bill actually tomorrow on the floor or the House, that's House Bill 197 that deals with veterans' mental health and substance abuse treatments.
What would that change? What would that do, that bill?
Well, in Alabama, we say that we treat veterans. We say you have some great entities like Vets Recovery in Mobile, mm-hmm. that is not a government agency. It's a private agency. It's a private entity that they went out. It's on Spring Hill Avenue. They went out. They raised money. A guy named John Kilpatrick, who's probably been mm-hmm. on your show.
Multiple times. Yeah. No, he's been on John several times. Yeah.
they do an amazing job. And what I want to see is that replicated across the state. Let's give our veterans the care that they need, because currently the current system, you know, they say, oh, we're treating veterans, but there's no comprehensive plan. There's no strategy to treat veterans. Veterans of mental health and veterans substance abuse is a very unique entity. I mean, you need to have veterans treating veterans because they understand each other. And so what this bill does is it creates a pilot program that would be funded out of opioid abuse settlement funds that were sent down to the state. And it's, you know, it creates a pilot program to try to replicate some of those same services that Vets Recovery is doing in Mobile across the state, so that after a couple of years, we can really look at it and see a better way of treating veterans and come up with an actual comprehensive plan to treat our veterans. And so that's what this bill does. It provides them an opportunity for hope. And so hopefully we'll get a vote. We'll get a vote on it tomorrow in the House and then send it up to the Senate. And in the closing days, but I really do. There's a lot of there's a Senate version carried by Senator Andrew Jones from Gadsden, and I know people want it to happen. I mean, it's something that this time has come, and we've got to make this happen. So that's House Bill 197.
And before we run out of time, too, another one you had talked with us in the past. I don't have the name of it. It was what about like the like if you do the ancestry stuff or genetic stuff, that data?
Yeah.
What happened with that?
That's House Bill 21. That's a DNA privacy, genetic privacy act. That I got that out of the House fairly early, actually, and it went through Senate committee and was unanimous in the Senate committee. And I had word today that is expected for a floor vote in the Senate sometime over the next 5 days.
Okay, so it is going to be seen in the Senate. They're not letting it sit. Okay.
I have about four bills that are just waiting to come onto the floor of the Senate. I've had two bills this year that have already been signed into law. House Bill 87 that allows airports to enter into public-private partnerships, and House Bill 253 that allows the Alabama Port Authority to hire people outside of the Alabama merit system of the personnel board. So that allows them to be more competitive against other ports and to attract more talent to Mobile. And then the airport, it allows them to grow using private dollars and not totally relying on taxpayer dollars to fund their projects. So it allows airports across the state to have a better opportunity to grow. You know, one bill that I'm really looking at, Sean, and following is House Bill 389 that's carried by Representative Shane Stringer, that I was a co-sponsor on this bill. And his bill, it prevents credit card companies and financial companies from tracking your information on ammo and gun sales. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great piece of legislation, and you know, hopefully the Senate will be voting on that soon.
All right. We will watch it, and we'll probably get you back on before Sondra dies. So we appreciate your time. District 105, Representative Chip Brown. Thanks, man.
Hey, thanks, Sean. Have a great day.
You too. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 128, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, Monday style. Glad to have you here. 343-0106. That's the phone number, 343-0106. From the text line, unnamed texter said, why do they want Victory Land to be a casino when, if I'm not mistaken, they were caught bribing Jefferson County officials with fixed slot machines? Because of that. Because of votes. I mean, it's the reality, and we've been doing it forever, and I still need to revisit this, because we've talked about it year after year after year. The reason we can't get the vote you think we should get on gambling in Alabama are the interest behind votes in the Alabama legislature. And there's a whole bunch of different... There are no votes that are moral no votes, right? They're just not going to vote on any kind of gambling in the Republican caucus. So Republicans need Democrats to vote with them, even though it's these Republican-led bills, right, for gambling, or as they call it, gaming, Republican-led bills for gambling, but they need Democrat votes, and the Democrats are going to go for the legacy dog track locations to have a cut of the action. At the same time, you have the situation, what happens outside tribal lands, sovereign tribal lands of the Porch Bandit Creek Indians, then reflects on what they can do there. So Porch Bandit Creek Indians is now, you know, offering, has these compacts between the state and the Porch Bandit Creek Indians to allow expansion, making it worth their while to bring their power behind a yes vote. So they got to be cut into the action. All right. So you've got different entities that are, you know, that are, if they're going to let this happen by the people that vote like they want them to vote. And listen, members of the legislature, maybe they vote that on their own accord, but they are aligned with different entities there. So to get them all lined up, you get some sort of Frankenstein bill. And that's what we always end up talking about. So people say, why can't we get a clean lottery? I could refer you back to, I don't know, 20 hours of podcast of this show, Jeff Poor's show, Bannon Dalton in the morning show, which, by the way, grab our podcast. You can do them through the FM Talk 106.5 app. The website, just click the podcast tab, or anywhere you subscribe for podcasts, just make sure to subscribe for FM Talk 106.5. All right, be right back. News is next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along on this Monday. 343-0106 puts you through. Speaking of the telephone, let's check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And a fresh week to work with, David.
It is. We got 2 days left in this month, today and tomorrow. So now's the time to buy something. You know how it is in this business. We want to get all we can in before the end of the month. And we've got good financing rates. And we've got buy here, pay here. We've got a great inventory that fits every program from the buy here, pay here all the way up to the, you know, 850 Beacon. So now's the time to come check us out.
When we check you out, what pick me a car or two or a truck to look at.
We've got two 2012 Camrys. Then we've got a couple other Camrys. We've got a Honda Accord. We've got three Nissan Frontiers and a lot of full-size trucks. So we've got plenty of inventory.
All right. Tell folks how to come find you in person, and they can do it online.
We're on Highway 90, 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Let's see. Okay, one more of these. I got a couple stories we got to get to here, but let's see. Is this a fake ID conversation? Okay, here we go. So here's Bob. Said Sean came in late on the fake ID conversation, but I have a good one for you. Had a buddy use a fake ID in the early 80s to buy a shotgun at Walmart. About 3 hours later, our neighborhood was full of government-issued Reliant K cars. And for you youths there, don't remember the Reliant K. Oh, I remember the boxy things. And the old guys in blue windbreakers with FBI ATF on the back of them. It looked like a scene out of a movie, War Games, with Matthew Broderick. Oh, man, Bob, we may be the same age here. He couldn't wait for Christmas to get that shot done. Or get that shotgun. He was ready to go rabbit hunting. That didn't turn out well for him. Anyway, so fake ID to buy a firearm. So, hey, yeah, I was thinking, you know, the old, maybe to buy other things. The old, you know, the poster board thing. So I hear. So I hear that people would buy poster boards and use Polaroid cameras and do all that stuff. We'll get to Uncle Luke in a second here. I do want to get to Uncle Luke before we run out of time. But first, as we talk about people that had a reputation for saying dirty words, and what has happened with Howard Stern? I know Dalton's a bigger Stern fan. I mean, I appreciate Stern. I've said in the past, I've probably for 20 years since that movie came out, I told people the closest thing to how it really is in radio stations, or it used to be in radio stations, not some of the stunts he did, but just behind the scenes, was watching Private Parts, the Howard Stern movie. It was really pretty good. It was pretty representative of things that go on. But the Howard Stern from then is not the Howard Stern from now. And that is the place. First of all, just for a second, think about let's go back 20 years then, that a president and candidate would be going on Howard Stern's show. That's where the president would go to try to get votes. Now Stern, big Democrat or a big anti-Trump, but that's where that Howard Stern, just for a second. I mean, the headline's out there. The headline says, Biden mocked for stretching the truth on shock jock Howard Stern show. That's from Fox. But we can get into the stretching the truth. That's kind of common there with Biden's stories and truck driving and cannibals and corn pop and all that stuff. But the fact that the president of the United States goes on Howard Stern's show, I mean, things have just, if I went back in a time machine and told you back then, said, yeah, listen, presidents will be going on Stern's show. So that seemed kind of odd to me. It says, from the story, President Biden faced a wave of criticism on Friday from media outlets to commentators for stretching the truth during a rare live interview with radio show host Howard Stern. During his interview with Stern, Biden spoke about an array of subjects. Oh, boy. Including a debate with former President Donald Trump. You've heard of that today, right? And Trump saying anytime, anywhere, we'll do the debate. But come on, I would... You know what? I don't know that I've ever... Well, there might have been a prize fight one time. I've chipped in money for pay-per-view, but I've never pay-per-viewed anything in my life. If there was a... If we could have just like a... In New York, on the streets, debate between Trump and Biden, I'd pay $50 a ticket to see. I would absolutely pay the money for that pay-per-view. But it said, during the interview with Stern, Biden spoke about the array of subjects, including debate with former President Donald Trump ahead of the 2024 election. At the time, he got arrested as a teenager for a Delaware desegregation protest. So I guess he's trying to bring himself in with the Utes at Columbia, which I don't know what happened to them yet. I guess they're all going to get suspended. As he's done in the past, Biden recounted during his interview with Stern what his mother had supposedly told him about accepting then-Senator Barack Obama's invitation to serve as his running mate in the 2008 presidential election. Biden recounted, she said, "Remember when they were desegregating Linfield neighborhood suburbia and I told you there was a black family moving in and there was? People down there were protesting. I told you not to go down there and you went down there. Remember that? And you got arrested for standing on the porch with a black family and they brought you back to the police? And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that," end quote. So the New York Times here, next paragraph, New York Times, which took aim at President Biden on Thursday for actively and effectively avoiding journalist questions during his first term in office, reported Friday that Biden, quote, appeared to once again stretch the truth about being arrested at a Delaware desegregation protest as a teenager. But this is like the John Lovitz character from SNL in the old days. Times added, there's no evidence he was ever arrested at a civil rights protest, end quote. CNN also piled on Biden's claim, noting the fact check that, quote, no evidence Biden ever got arrested during a civil rights protest, as the Washington Post and PolitiFact found when they looked into the claim back in 2022. And Biden has at least told that story twice, his supposed presence at the particular Delaware protest. So there we go. Oh, my gosh, look at this, y'all. I am in heaven. I had not read down in prepping for the show beyond that quote there. The next paragraph in this. Biden also faced criticism from CNN earlier this week when he, quote, revived the debunked tale about his past, his fictional claim that he used to drive an 18-wheeler truck. I guess he broke that back out down in a Florida event. Wow, my favorite Biden story makes it back. I know that y'all, anybody's listened to the show for a long time, that's the one I go to. Everybody's got all their favorites. I go, the one y'all that is my favorite is the fact that he was a long-haul trucker. Because I think he sat in a, he was at some political event, he sat in the passenger seat as somebody with a CDL actually drove the truck from like point A to point B. And then from there on, he was a long-haul trucker. There's all the stuff where he said his... You know, sports accolades. There's a bunch of different Bidenisms out there. Stories. My favorite's the truck driver one. I don't know, but it's my favorite. But there you go. That Howard Stern is where Biden is today, or was last week talking. So, I wish I could read some of these texts coming in from y'all. See if I edit this one. Yeah, I. I can't read that one. Y'all are very funny. You're amusing me here. IT Jesus says, headlines, headlines, trash DJ interviews trash President Biden. There you go. That's the only one I can read of the others. It's just, it's interesting to see the changes out there in the world. So from that story, it seems like a perfect fit for me to give you an update on the story we had about, I think, a week ago or something, that Dalton and I were talking about it. Because he knows that my age and, you know, what I might have listened to in the 1980s. He said, you see this, that Uncle Luke, Luther Campbell, is running for Congress in Florida? The now 63-year-old Luther Campbell, or Luke Skywalker of the Two Live Crew, was saying that he was going to be running. And you know what? Out of any rapper, maybe some other, but any rapper, Uncle Luke might be the person to do it. Remember the big obscenity case, right? And then they came back with a band in the USA and all that. It was Tipper Gore, I think, right? Al Gore's wife going after them. That stuff was like, that cassette when I was a kid was like some kind of uranium core or something that was being traded by, you know, dark agents somewhere on the planet. When somebody said, man, look, here's the cassette, Luke and the Two Live Crew, and you put it in, make sure the volume was down. Mom and Dad were as far away as possible. We heard that, and you're like, oh, my gosh, I've never heard anything like this in my life. Somehow I survived it. But remember, the big court case, you know, over the explicit lyrics out there. So I guess it came out about a week or two ago. There's the 20th Congressional District there in South Florida. Uncle Luke launched a political committee, you know, the research committee back in January to see if he could unseat incumbent Representative Sheila McCormick out of Florida. It looks like as of today, he is out. He's not going to do it. So there you go. That was the news coming out so if you're worried or excited about the fact that Luther Campbell would be running for Congress, and as a news story, I kind of would have been very interested in it. He has now said he didn't qualify for the election and he's not going to be running in the 20th Congressional District, 63-year-old Luther Campbell. So just wanted to make sure we get that in. And then before we even go any further, let's just also add in, as the news gets stranger and stranger, Harvey Weinstein, he gets acquitted, right? They nullified the rape conviction, this group of judges. Then this story this morning. Harvey Weinstein's lawyers said over the weekend that one-time movie mogul has been hospitalized now for a battery of tests after his return to New York City following an appeals court ruling nullifying his 2020 rape conviction. So he's back in jail. He's not out, but they have nullified that conviction. They vacated, I guess, the conviction after concluding, and here's what the AP says, on Thursday, New York Court of Appeals vacated his conviction after concluding the trial judge permitted jurors to see and hear too much evidence not directly related to the charges he faced. It also erased his 23-year prison sentence as ordered a retrial. So it's a clerical error. I'm not saying he's not guilty of the charges, but a clerical error. So they've vacated that charge. So they're going to go at it again. But then he goes back, and now he's, according to New York City Department of Corrections, Weinstein is remaining in custody in Bellevue, but he has got a lot of problems. He's getting all kind of tests and somewhat of a train wreck health-wise. So does Weinstein make it out of prison or even to trial with the health thing? I don't know, but there it is. So in the stories going around, everything from the President of the United States on the Howard Stern show to the possibility of Luther Campbell, not now, but the possibility of Luther Campbell, Luke from the Two Live Crew, running for Congress, to Harvey Weinstein with charges vacated and then possibly dying in prison. We'll see. I don't know that that's true, but thank you for the music out. I appreciate that. Just a grab bag, a potpourri of stories that got my attention here. All right, coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
watching monitors here. Now, arrest being made at University of Texas at Austin campus. The protesters there. I don't know where we were with the 53 minutes ago. The Columbia students that were still there. If they had not left yet, they were going to be suspended by Columbia. So I didn't get any more video there now. But Texas has given the cable news cameras what they want, right? And given them the video they want of the arrested students here at UT Austin. So they had the same, says, let's see. Okay, UT Austin making the arrest against the deadline is passed for protesters at Columbia. They get suspended. I don't know if they get removed yet or not because NYPD was there. So I don't know what happens there. But they're herding them up in Texas. So we'll watch that. I'm sure this video will run in a complete loop tonight on Fox News. So you'll see it again. You're just hearing about it now, but you'll see it again tonight when you get home. Okay, on the text line here, this is good. So Sean says, Sean from Baldwin County says, Sean, I know damn well you watched pay-per-view Bama game. I've probably watched a couple of them over the years, Sean, but I didn't pay for them. Right, we're going to somebody's house or whatever, and they had them. But no, I would pay if they want to figure out how to. They'll split the money, even though Trump will be the bigger draw. If that's what they need, you know, a little extra money for the DNC, some for the Trump campaign, which I think the Trump campaign could use some money these days. Do the debate, the first one, pay per view, and make it like a street debate somewhere, like they just mic them both up and they're just walking, maybe like some sort of West Side Story where they're, you know, walking around each other or like a rap battle or something like that. It might be interesting. So, you know, just an idea out there. Yeah, somebody asked me, has Biden ever shot a dog? I don't know. Remember he said he could have. A name texture. He could have, because remember what he said you should do? Remember when one of his gun rambles, that he said, well, what I do, you just get you a double barrel shotgun. And if somebody's out there, you just shoot out into the dark with the shotgun. What was that? That 15 years ago, 12 years, something like that. I was like, oh, that's great. Yeah, just shoot randomly at places. That's how you fix stuff. Ashley in Loosedale, don't you wish we could go back to the days when our only worries were Tipper Gore was ruining our lives? Yes. Yes, Ashley, I do. And I remember that being like a big deal, right? It was a big deal. They were shutting us down. They're going to put these warnings on the album so we couldn't get what we wanted. Yeah, I remember that. It was a big deal back then. Tipper Gore and the Moral Majority. Can you imagine that now? Wasn't that the name of the group? Let's see. Tipper Gore. I think it's called the Moral Majority. Or what was her group? Wasn't it Moral Majority? Or was that another? She had something. It was something like that. Let's see. Yeah, okay, it is. So here it is. The story. So it's the Moral Majority was a group. Tipper Gore, of course, Tipper as in Mrs. Al Gore, was head of the Parents Music Resource Center, the PMRC, that advocated for the labeling of record covers of releases featuring profane language, especially in the heavy metal, punk, and hip-hop genres of music, which pretty much encompassed everything I listened to. Through decades of her public life, she's advocated for placing advisory labels on music. So she's the Moral Majority, right? Gonna limit those. She also advocates for mental health awareness. That's good. Women's causes. That's good. Children's causes. That's good. LGBTQ rights, which is good. But I mean, why? How does that square with her Moral Majority? I don't know. So yes, it was Tipper Gore. Tipper Gore was head of the PMRC at the Attack on 2 Live crew, and then they came out. So can we finish up with that? We will. Okay, we'll finish up with that, with Band in the USA. So Luther Campbell, Uncle Luke, way back, was getting political. I think it's a loss to talk show hosts and others out there that he didn't end up qualifying to run for office in the 20th Congressional District there in Florida. So if we want to kind of maybe pool money together for the next cycle in 2 years, I think that would be worth doing to get Luther Campbell back in the mix. Please, let's do it for the entertainment value, because he in a debate would be fantastic. I would pay-per-view that, too. Oh, and then King of All Unnamed Texters said Howard Stern's young wife, Kimmel, I guess, as in Jimmy Kimmel, and COVID happened to Howard. Yeah, he did change that. And thank you for giving me that heads up there, King of All Unnamed Texters, because I had not been, I had not ever gone and looked at the new wife, and good for Howard, I guess. All right, yeah, there we go. All right, so Two Live Crew, this is the clean one, right? Please, clean one. All right, we'll go out with this. Paul Feinbaum's next. Talk to y'all tomorrow.
But they're like flies moving the wall. We stand tall from beginning to end with help from fans and all our friends. Freedom of speech will never die. For us to have our ancestors died. Don't keep thinking that we will quit. We'll always stand and never.